Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well. How about Donald Trump? What a message last night that was sent to the entire nation. But a message that was specifically directed at the political ruling class, Merrick Garland, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So good to have you with us today. Late night last night as we were watching election results coming in from Wyoming and Alaska. But the story coming out of Wyoming is simply remarkable. Because Congresswoman Liz Cheney, her political career is now gone with the wind. I mean, it's over. So look, we're gonna go through this today, and it is there's a lot to unravel here. The fact of the matter is that Liz Cheney is done. Her goose has been cooked. Put a fork in her. She's done. That's it. Turn out the lights. The party's over. That's it. It's over with. But like a wounded animal that's been quartered, that is the most dangerous time in a political campaign. And that's what we're watching right here. She's going to be burning down the political party. She's burning down the Republican Party. And if that means another 4 years of whoever on the Democrat side, so be it. That's what Liz Cheney said last night in this weird concession speech. And I know this morning they are treating her like she is Saint Elizabeth of Wyoming. But Liz Cheney is a political hack. Now, right out of the gate here, I have a question about Liz Cheney. She and her husband were attorneys, all right? They were just regular, run-of-the-mill, nothing out of the ordinary attorneys. So I'd like to know how she became a multimillionaire. Since she entered Congress, her net worth has gone from what, $7 million in her first congressional term, $7 million to, by some estimations, upwards of $44 million. How does that happen? How does a woman like Liz Cheney take a $174,000 paycheck and turn that into a $44 million treasure trove? How is that humanly possible? So maybe Liz Cheney is just simply in the wrong career path here. Maybe she ought to be a financial advisor, because clearly she's made some pretty darn good investments to take a $174,000 a year salary and turn that into $44 million. I mean, that's pretty remarkable, wouldn't you say, ladies and gentlemen? Unless, of course, something nefarious has been going on. Unless maybe somebody's been funneling money into the military-industrial complex side of the Cheney regime. But anyway, I'm a student of history. Many of you know that I'm a big Civil War buff. And I was really taken aback by some of the Civil War imagery that Liz Cheney shared with us last night in this concession speech. And it reminded me a lot of the storyline, the plot line of Gone with the Wind. I mean, when you think about it, that's what it reminded me of. Now, at the end of the day, the Wyoming voters, and I thought this was a pretty remarkable take, the Wyoming voters said, hey, look, yeah, this really isn't about Trump. This is just her being out of touch with who we are as Wyoming voters. This is about us. It's not about Liz Cheney. It's not about some woman's some woman waging a war, a one-woman war against former President Trump. That's not what this is about. Now, Wyoming is a small state population-wise, and they only have one congressperson. And their one congressperson has been ignoring the issues that are important to Wyoming voters, and she's using her platform in Congress to destroy Donald Trump. And the Wyoming voters said, hey, hold up here. We're not going to do this anymore. But anyway, this speech was just weird. Did you see any of the speech? It was just weird. She's invoking the name of Abraham Lincoln. She's invoking the name of General U.S. Grant. She threw in Martin Luther King's Ark of Justice. I mean, she really is laying it out there that she is some sort of a political savior for the world. Liz Cheney is. But her goose is cooked. So anyway, and we're going to play some of this audio. I just think it's hilarious. Trump, she's going to run. She's going to run, and I hope she does. I hope Liz Cheney runs for the White House in 2024. I hope that she is up there on that debate stage right alongside Donald John Trump. That's going to be some good TV right there, ladies and gentlemen. Some great TV. But anyway, she's talking about how, you know, she herself is a student of history, and she recounted the whole story of General Grant and Robert E. Lee and saving the Union and how her own great-great-grandfather saved the Union. Was she on the Yankee side of the which side of the Mason-Dixon line? I guess her family, they were Yankees. So they were part of the invading horde that burned down the southern states. Is that right? I don't know. It's as if Liz Cheney thinks that she's a Civil War general, General Elizabeth Tecumseh Sherman, on some sort of a political crusade to burn down the Republican Party and set free everybody who's been enslaved by the America First agenda. But here's my take on what happened last night in Wyoming. It was, in fact, the good people of the cowboy state who seceded from the unholy union of endless wars and open borders and globalism. And last night, they declared their emancipation from the Bush-Cheney political dynasty. And man, do they love her today. She is just like a rock star. She's like the new Princess Di. Oh, they're just gushing with glee. Oh, you brave woman. You saint of a woman. You must run for the White House. Oh, it was terrible. Did you see Savannah Guthrie's interview on the Today Show? Oh, it was vomit-inducing. And there she was, and she had on the big fake eyelashes, and she was flitting those eyelashes about, flirting with them, maybe showing a little bit of political ankle as they tried to get her to admit that she was going to be running for the White House. But here it is, ladies and gentlemen, in front of God and country, Liz Cheney stood up. And she said, as God is my witness, I will never let Trump step foot in the White House again. As God is my witness, I'll never let Donald Trump do what he did to me on Terra. And I suspect, ladies and gentlemen, the American people will have the same reaction as the voters in Wyoming, who rolled their eyes and told Liz Cheney, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstearns.com. You got to read my column today on Liz Cheney being gone with the wind. You're going to love it over at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, America.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, normally $89.98, now only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable, have a cool, crisp feel, and these come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. That's 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square.
The great and original champion of our party, Abraham Lincoln, was defeated in elections for the Senate and the House before he won the most important election of all. Lincoln ultimately prevailed, he saved our Union, and he defined our obligation as Americans for all of history. Speaking at Gettysburg of the great task remaining before us, Lincoln said that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth.
Will they reelect Liz Cheney for her courage?
What I've found is a person who is smart.
She's done a terrific job on that committee.
Hugely hardworking.
She's performed so well.
Principled.
Her statements have been terrific.
She wants to get to the truth.
Her voice will not be silenced.
She's tough.
She is lauded as this heroic individual.
I think she's fearless.
She has fought a valiant fight. History will be kind to her. She is fighting the good fight.
I really admire her.
It really is impressive.
Probably the standard bearer for integrity inside the GOP.
I've always liked her and been impressed by her.
Liz Cheney is standing up against evil.
But it wouldn't be inconceivable for her to run as a write-in in Wyoming and maybe win, or maybe prevent the Republican from winning.
You know, she will have lost a congressional race. Abraham Lincoln lost a Senate race in 1858. It happens. It doesn't mean your political career is over.
No, look, folks, Liz Cheney is done, but she is going to try and destroy Donald Trump. Now, this is something we do need to take somewhat seriously. And I go back to the George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton race, where George H.W. would have run had Ross Perot not waged a pretty successful independent race. Keep in mind, Bill Clinton did not win 50% of the vote, not even close. So it's possible that Liz Cheney could draw away enough independent votes and establishment Republican votes that in a close election race, that could throw the race to the Democrats. And she's willing to do that. That's what you need to understand. She is willing to burn down the nation to destroy Donald Trump. She is on a personal jihad. I've never seen anything like it. She is literally blowing herself up because of her hatred of Donald Trump. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Steve in Central Arkansas, what say you, sir?
Hey, Todd, I found it interesting she used the Lincoln analogy to political analogy with her and Lincoln, because the big difference in her and Lincoln is Abraham Lincoln's political defeats were because he was rejected by the swamp. Our government at the time didn't want slavery to go away. Her political defeats are because she's been rejected by the people, and that is a big difference.
Well, she thinks that she is on a righteous campaign here, and she is clearly delusional, but she's going to blow it up. She's going to try to blow it up, and it depends on whether or not enough establishment Republicans join the effort. That's the question.
I agree. But it's still, bottom line, is who is going to win this battle, the swamp or the people?
That's it. That's it right
there.
That's
the bottom line.
I don't know about you, Steve, but I'm tired of sending people who barely have two nickels to rub together. They go to Washington, D.C., and they turn $174,000 a year salary into a $44 million war chest. I got a problem with that. It stinks to high heavens, and that's why we've got the deep state and the swamp. They're not looking out for the interest of the people. They're only going there to become wealthy. And that's all that, you know, Liz Cheney, there's some sort of a saintly political Joan of Arc. No, that's not it at all. She's a super wealthy elitist and a globalist. That's who she is. Steve, got to run. Appreciate the call. 844-747-8868. Meanwhile, you have Donald Trump out there. And NBC News, they have an interesting observation about Donald Trump.
And let me see your cowboy analogy and raise you a Star Wars analogy, because I'm told by one source that Cheney's staffers are really big fans of a recent editorial that compares her to Obi-Wan Kenobi. Okay, defeated initially, but ultimately part of the force that works to take down Darth Vader, or in this analogy, Donald Trump. But I think it gives you a sense of how her team is kind of casting this as a bigger, broader, almost galactic fight here.
All right. There you go, folks. Now they think that Donald Trump is Darth Vader. Again, and this bears repeating, and we will say this over and over and over again, not once has this president been arrested. Not once has this president been charged with a crime. As a matter of fact, all of the allegations that have been made against President Trump have thus far been disproven, every single one of them. And I suspect at the end of the day, when we get through whatever happened at Mar-a-Lago with the FBI raid, we're going to find out that nothing happened there as well, except for the FBI stealing documents that they had no business stealing. But, and we know that because they've already been caught in a couple of lies about the raid. Remember what they said. We didn't take President Trump's passport. That's what they said. Leaked that information to CBS News. CBS News says that the FBI, contrary to the accusations of President Trump, they did not steal his passports. And now we know, in fact, they did, because the FBI admitted that they had taken President Trump's passports. This is where we are in America right now, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to indict President Trump. They're going to find something. They are desperate to destroy this man. And they're going to come after him. And it doesn't matter if he jaywalks, they'll get him for that. This is how insane. If you don't think, and you don't think these people are right-minded, you don't think they're thinking this through, just look at Liz Cheney and what just happened in Wyoming. They don't care. They're on a jihad. It's kind of like the, you know, when you had the jetliners flying into the buildings, they don't care. They want to blow themselves up because they believe in their jihad. Let's go to Cordova, Tennessee. Bill on KWAM, our flagship station. Bill, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Todd. Everything, man. You got me on a soapbox here with this campaign stuff. Let me, the war chest business. You know, back in 2002, I think it was, John McCain and Russ Feingold passed legislation, campaign finance legislation, that revamped everything. And the problem with that war chest that you're talking about is you and I, as individuals, can only donate $2,700 a year per election per campaign. In other words, if you have a primary and a general, you can donate $5,400. The problem is if you donate to a PAC, that PAC can accumulate millions and millions of dollars, and they can give every bit of it to one candidate. And that really devalues yours and my vote. And it's a bad way to do it, in my opinion, and it never should have happened. I don't think PACs or corporations or Zuckerberg, for example, should be able to give anything more than you and I can give to a campaign, to a candidate.
Well, and Bill, those numbers we were talking about, those are not campaign war chests. That's her personal bank account. I want to know, how does somebody making $174,000 a year, how do they turn that into a $44 million bank account? I think that's a pretty darn reasonable question to ask of our elected officials. And by the way, most of them, Bill, are, in fact, millionaires up there on Capitol Hill. You think they're looking out for the interest of all of us? Yeah, I don't think so. Bill, got to run. Appreciate the call. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. So President Trump was in a mighty good mood last night, and he believes that the Cheney loss is a referendum on the never-ending witch hunt. Do you agree with that assessment? Do you believe that the voters of Wyoming were sending a message to the rest of the nation that they're sick and tired of these investigations, the committees, the witch hunt, the attempts by the political ruling class to destroy Donald Trump? Do you believe that's what this was, a referendum? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Here's what President Trump wrote on True Social. I assume that with a very big Liz Cheney loss, and by the way, it's what one of the worst political defeats of an incumbent in modern American history. It's unbelievable. She only got 29% of the vote. Trump goes on to say, I assume that with the very big Cheney loss, far bigger than had ever been anticipated, the J6 Committee of Political Hacks and Thugs will quickly begin the beautiful process of disillusion. This was a referendum on the never-ending witch hunt. The people will have their say. All right, we'll see. Let's go to the phones. Mark in the Villages in Florida. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I personally think they were, you know, they weren't after those codes. They're probably trying to find stuff on maybe Michael Flynn may have given him. You know, they violated his client confidentiality with his attorneys. And if I was Trump, I'd just file a lawsuit. You know, they used the codes as an excuse. They wanted leverage. And as far as Liz Cheney, did you hear her trying to get the Democrats yesterday to cross over and vote for her? I'm like, are you kidding me? Why don't you just become a Democrat and get it over with?
Well, what's fascinating about her loss, I mean, there were Democrats who did cross over, and there was a big effort to do that. Otherwise, she may have lost by maybe, I mean, she may have only garnered about 10 or 15% of the vote.
Yeah, and I think it would make for good TV if she'd get up on that stage against Trump. That would be hilarious. But as I said before, I don't think they were after the code. They were looking for something else, and they used the codes as an excuse so that they could gain more leverage or attempt to get leverage against him for these midterms in 2024. The thing is, people aren't stupid now. They know what they're up to, and that's why they're losing these elections in various states like Alaska, you know, and all these other places. These people, these American people are sick and tired of it. But it's not just Republicans, because I've talked to some Democrats. They're getting tired of it, too. They're totally getting tired of it. And they're sick of it. And everyone's like, oh, people are going to get tired of it. And you know, like, what's your name was saying? Laura Ingraham.
Get
tired and wore out. Yeah, they're going to get wore out. We're not wore out. We're more enthused, more energetic now to go fight even more and have them and get Trump back in there. Because what are they going to gain by not putting Trump in there? Who are you possibly going to put in there? I love DeSantis, but I don't think he's ready. Like I've been saying from the beginning, you can't put him in yet because they'll just walk all over him. But who can you put in there that's going to put this country back to where it needs? Just think about that. Who are they going to put in there that's going to bring our gas prices down, that's going to bring this economy back to where it needs. I don't know of anybody.
Mark, I'm encouraged that you're still enthused, because if Fox News Channel makes that turn and they tell all of their on-air hosts that they've got to start, you know, tamping down the Trump stuff and encouraging people to get out there and maybe look at other candidates, I am concerned about that, because there are a lot of people that are still listening and still watching Fox News, and they're buying into a lot of the stuff that's being shoveled out that they say is conservative, but it's not at all. I don't know what Laura Ingraham was thinking when she gave that interview, but I'm glad to know that you're not one of the people that's exhausted, and that you understand how important it is that we gotta fight the good fight. Now is the time where you have to double down.
What's exhausting is listening to people like Fox News and Ingraham. You know, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, they seem to still have, you know, they're still on our side and everything. But when you start turning into like CNN and NBC and all that, that's just, I turned them off. I go to Newsmax now. I don't listen to them. I tell everybody to go to Newsmax that didn't even know about Newsmax. And I talk to many, many, many people a day. And I'll tell you, I told you, you want some good news? Go to Newsmax. At least you'll get the right story, because I don't know. I think Ingram's just trying to hang on to her job, because she's falling off the deep end.
Yeah, Mark, we're going to leave it there. Good call. Appreciate that. 844-747-8868. Are you exhausted, or are you recharged? The attack on Mar-a-Lago, did that recharge your political batteries? 844-747-8868. Now, Eric Trump was on Hannity last night, and, you know, the FBI told the folks at Mar-a-Lago, hey, you've got to turn off all of your security cameras. We don't want you people seeing what we're doing. And they thought that the staff at Mar-a-Lago had complied. But the staff at Mar-a-Lago, they don't answer to the FBI. They answer to Donald Trump. And it's our understanding that the cameras, the surveillance cameras, were turned on. And Eric Trump last night on Hannity says, hey, look, we're going to be releasing that footage.
Will you still have the surveillance tape? Is that correct? Are you allowed to share that with the country?
Absolutely, Sean, at the right time. And your body cam point was spot on. That's why cops wear body cams. They don't tell you to turn off cameras. They want transparency, and that's not what happened here.
And you know for a fact they asked for the cameras to be turned off.
They asked for the cameras to be turned off.
They asked for the cameras to be turned off. Why do you think they did that, folks? And it's a great point. Here we are. You've got every Democrat in the country demanding that police officers have body cams. And I'm a big proponent of the body cams, because in a lot of these cases, you actually realize that what the police officer has been telling you is, in fact, the God's honest truth. So why would the FBI go into Mar-a-Lago? Again, if it's all on the up and up, why would they go into Mar-a-Lago and say, got to shut down all those surveillance cameras? We don't want you guys to see what we're about to do. And that's what leads me to wonder, did they plant listening devices? Did they bug Mar-a-Lago? Did they plant evidence? What exactly were they looking for? Is it possible that Trump had dirt on Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and a bunch of the other deep state actors inside the FBI? Keep in mind, it was Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, the text messages where Peter Strzok said they would never allow Trump to become president. They had an insurance policy. Well, clearly that did not work. So what exactly was Peter Strzok talking about? He's never been asked to explain himself. What did he mean by that? So, yeah, I've got some grave concerns about the legitimacy of whatever happened down there. And if, in fact, there was evidence, was that evidence actually planted by the FBI? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Patriot Mobile, folks, you got to get yourself hooked up with Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And they are fighting for us every single day, fighting for our freedom, fighting for our constitutional rights. Patriot Mobile has incredible nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other guys use, and they have plans to fit any budget, along with incredible discounts for veterans and first responders. And you might say, well, Todd, I need multiple lines. Well, they're going to give you a discount for that, too. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is the website, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. You can also give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now get this. Use my promo code, Todd. They're going to give you a special discount and free premier activation. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. So ever since gas prices went sky high, I've got a daily routine. I've been driving around town trying to find the cheapest gas possible. But you know what? I don't have to do that anymore thanks to the Upside app. That's right. The Upside app is an incredible app for anybody who buys gas, buys groceries, or dines out. And get this, with every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. To get started, all you have to do is download the free Upside app. Use my promo code STARNS, and you're going to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. So download the free Upside app and use the promo code STARNS to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. A little under the weather, ladies and gentlemen. But we're going to persevere. We're going to get through the day. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. Somebody wrote this on social media. Amanda Held. If this democracy fails, I think history will look back and say it was due to the commodification of news, media empires, selling consumers the fiction they desired rather than the facts they needed, entertainment rather than info. It's propaganda for the sake of profit. Again, if they want to talk about profit, let's talk about Liz Cheney. How does a congresswoman, a full-time congresswoman, on a salary of $174,000 a year, increase her personal worth to $14.7 million. How does that happen? I'd like to see what kind of investment she's been making. But I don't, you can blame the mainstream media for this. The reality is that the mainstream media has been spreading lies about Donald Trump for years now. But clearly that's not what she's talking about, Ms. Held. She's suggesting that conservative news organizations are the ones that are responsible for all of this. Well, I would disagree with that assessment. If nothing else, we're trying to establish the facts of what's happening in this country. Let's go to Bob in Georgia, WDUN. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind?
I'm doing good. I say we ought to start, you know, boycotting Fox or stuff for Mark Levin and Sean Hannity shows. Just boycott them. And what? Another thing I want to bring up, you know, Liz Cheney said she'd do anything to get Donald Trump out of the office. That means lie, cheat, and steal. And if she's against the Republicans, if I had a father like Dick Cheney, I'd be against them too.
Bob, appreciate the call. Thank you for that. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. By the way, Laura Ingraham, last night, Harriet Hageman was on, and I really thought she did a good job of explaining what happened in Wyoming last night.
Joining me now is Harriet Hageman, the Wyoming congressional candidate who just defeated Liz Cheney. Harriet, first of all, congratulations. I remember talking to you before you decided you were going to throw your hat in the ring for real. And now, you know, you got it, girl. You're going to be the nominee for the party, and I can't imagine you won't be the next congresswoman from the great state of Wyoming.
Well, thank you, Laura. It's wonderful to be back with you. We started this a year ago, or about 11 months ago, and here we are with all of the hard work and the support of the great people across the state of Wyoming and all of our volunteers and supporters. We've been able to succeed.
Did Liz Cheney call you and congratulate you? How was the tone of that conversation?
I haven't had an opportunity to visit with her. We have been kind of wrapped up in all of the stuff associated with what's going on downstairs with our watch party. As you can imagine, we have several hundred people downstairs ready to celebrate who've been celebrating. And so I have not been able to even look at my phone. So I don't know if she's called or not. So I don't really have anything to report on that.
Oh, that's interesting. Did you happen to hear that part of her speech was a continued vow, Harriet, to make sure Donald Trump never steps foot in the White House after what happened on January 6th, which was not, I guess, not surprising that she said that, but your reaction tonight?
Well, again, I have not had an opportunity to even see or hear what she had to say because I've been kind of focused on what's going on here. It doesn't surprise me that she would revert to those same old talking points because that's really in large part what got her defeated. She's not focusing on Wyoming. She's not focusing on our issues. She's still focusing on an obsession about President Trump. And the citizens of Wyoming, the voters of Wyoming, sent a very loud message tonight. We have spoken, and that is not what we are interested in terms of our lone congressional representative. Wyoming is entitled to have a representative that represents our interests, that listens to us, that addresses our issues. That isn't Liz Cheney, and the fact that that's where she went back to with her speech tonight, I think demonstrates that she really isn't listening to Wyoming now. She hasn't for quite some time, and that's why we needed to replace her. We need to have a representative in Wyoming who listens to us.
And Harriet, when I was lucky enough to spend quite a bit of time in Wyoming in July, the things that I heard most often from folks there were inability to get workers, the cost of fuel, and the cost of just basic living, rent and food. No one was focusing on Trump. I don't think anyone I talked to, that wasn't top of mind.
No, inflation, illegal immigration, and protection of our energy jobs are the issues that are the most important to Wyoming. And accountability. We actually expect our representatives to represent our interests. I've said that a couple of times now, but that's what I heard so much on the campaign trail. So I'm excited. Thank you for having us. It's a wonderful evening.
Harriet, congratulations. We can't wait to see what the future holds for you. You worked hard this campaign. We really appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Harriet Hageman, who is going to be the new congresswoman from Wyoming. And she said something that I thought was interesting. It wasn't about Trump, right? It was about inflation. It was about the fact you can't go to the grocery store and buy what you could buy just a few months ago. It's not about Trump. It's about illegal immigration and the fact that we have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people crossing that border every year illegally. It's about the fact that we're paying out the wazoo for gas prices. Those are the issues that concerned Wyoming voters. And here's a concern I have, that nationally, Trump cannot make this about himself, and he cannot make this about what happened in 2020. The presidential campaign, if he decides to run, has to be about those issues, the issues that are impacting the American people. If Trump makes it about himself, if Trump even makes it about Mar-a-Lago, if Trump makes it about anything other than the issues that are impacting the voters, I don't think he's going to be able to pull it off. I don't think you're going to be able to get the voters out. It's about we the people. That's what this is all about. And so the Trump campaign needs to be very strategic here. And that's one of the reasons why we are beginning to see some of these Trump nominees struggle in places like Georgia and Pennsylvania and Arizona. It's because they've got to focus on the issues impacting the people and their pocketbooks. And if they don't do that, it's going to be a tough sell. And that's why you're seeing the Republican senatorial campaign moving millions of dollars around. They see the writing on the wall. And I know there are people listening right now that are very angry with what I'm saying, but you cannot put your head in the sand here. And if you think Joe Biden or Kamala Harris will be the nominee for the Democrats in 2024, you're smoking what Hunter Biden's got. They're going to pull somebody out. There will be somebody running that we're going to be very surprised by this. I still suspect it's going to be Michelle Obama. That's my long shot pick. But it could be somebody else that we've never heard of. And if it's Michelle Obama, guess what happens? The base of the Democrat Party, it's not that they got energized. They're going to go nuclear. So we've got to play smart here, folks. There are warning signs. Look at that vote in Kansas. Look at what happened in Tennessee. We got to play smart. You got to play smart politics here, people. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing well. Write down our telephone number. You will need this today, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. ToddStarnes.com is our website. You got to read my column on Liz Cheney and the references to Gone with the Wind. I think you'll enjoy that one today over at ToddStarnes.com. There's a report out of the Florida Standard. Will Witt, Jonas Vesterberg are the authors. And the headline certainly caught my attention. There has been a lot of concern over, well, the past couple of years now about the vaccines. There were no clinical trials. We the people were the clinical trial. I was one of those who was told by my doctor to get the vaccine, and I ended up in the hospital relatively quickly with myocarditis. That I had the Moderna vaccine. The headline: nearly half of pregnant women in Pfizer trial miscarried. This is according to Dr. Naomi Wolf, who runs a crowdsourced project to analyze about 300,000 Pfizer documents. Those documents were released because of a Freedom of Information Act request. 44% of the pregnant women who participated in the drug maker's China virus vaccine trial lost their babies. By the way, Dr. Naomi Wolf is a feminist activist, so not exactly a person friendly with conservatives. She says, again, 44% of pregnant women in Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine trial lost their babies. The documents that she analyzed were ordered to be released by a federal judge back in January. Dr. Wolf, by the way, was on Steve Bannon's War Room show earlier this week. Quote, "Women will understand how tragic this is. Pfizer took those deaths of babies, those spontaneous abortions and miscarriages, and recategorized them as recovered result adverse effects." In other words, if you lost your baby, it was categorized by Pfizer as a resolved adverse event, like a headache that got better. The documents are troubling, ladies and gentlemen, because many of the people that were involved in the creation, the development of the vaccines, many of the people who were demanding that all of us get the vaccines, every living, breathing human being in the world, those individuals, many of them are advocates for depopulating the earth. And at the time, anybody who dared bring that up was somehow categorized as a lunatic. They were categorized as conspiracy theorists, and their ideas were just shoved to the side. But now here we are, and we're living in a country where every single day there is some sort of a headline about somebody dropping dead, a perfectly healthy young person, usually between the ages of 16 and 30, 35, very athletic people that are just suddenly dropping dead. And what is the first question? And you just think about this. Be honest with yourself. I know there are many of you out there that are pro-vaccine, and I'm not anti-vaccine. I just have a lot of questions. But that makes you a bad person these days. If you dare to ask a question about the vaccine, that makes you some sort of an oddball. a rabble-rouser. It just seems to me that if you've got perfectly healthy people and now suddenly that they're dropping dead and you're telling me, well, that's just part of the evolutionary process, I'm not buying that. I'm just not buying that. But you be honest with yourself. Even you pro-vax, let's just say you're one of those people out there that says every person in the world has to have the vaccine. And if you don't get the vaccine and you don't support the vaccine, you're an evil monster, all right? Even you people, just think about this and be honest with you. I want you to be honest. Where's Grace? Grace, I want you to be honest here.
Okay.
And answer this question.
I'm ready.
When you hear that a perfectly healthy young person drops dead on a playing field, what's the first question that comes into your mind?
What were they on? What kind of a drug were they on? What was in their system that caused them to die? Because I think that's completely absurd. It would never naturally happen.
The question that goes through my mind, and I think every other human being on the planet, did they get the vaccine? Did they get the vaccine? Were they vaccinated?
Yeah, it is the question now. It's like, what were they injected with before that happened?
That's it. All right, thank you. Again, this is about, it's a very simple question. And if you're honest with yourself, you know you ask yourself that question. Just the other day, there was some young athlete who dropped dead. First thing that popped into my mind, okay, was he vaccinated? And the reason we're asking these questions is that was an unusual occurrence before the China virus vaccine. As a matter of fact, they told us early on, look, we remember all this stuff. Early on, the doctors and the medical experts, all those people were out there saying, hey, look, there's no chance of you having some sort of a heart issue. If there is, it's just a coincidence. Don't worry about it. And so what happened? All of these people started developing heart conditions as soon as they got the vaccine. And so then they had to come out. The pharmaceutical companies, Big Pharma, had to come out and they said, oh, yeah, this turns out to be a side effect. But it's really not all that. It's not all that common, uncommon. And now they're having to say, yeah, this is a pretty common occurrence.
Todd, how soon are we going to see the commercials with the coronavirus vaccine? It's like, go get your coronavirus vaccine today. Possible side effects include vomiting, diarrhea, and quite possibly death.
It's a great question. And you know the trial attorneys are already out there, and we're going to start seeing the billboards that if you've suffered some sort of a side effect from the China virus, that you could be eligible up to, you know, for millions, bazillions of dollars. But this story out of the Florida Standard is just heartbreaking. All of these women, 44% of pregnant women in Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine trial lost their babies. You think that was a coincidence? The CDC still recommends that pregnant women get vaccinated in spite of the study. It is a dangerous thing, a dangerous thing. Now, we can't even share this on social media because they'll just shut it down, and you'll get punished for sharing this on social media. Steve Kirsch is the founder of Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. He is a tech millionaire, multimillionaire. He says that according to his numbers, and I don't know where he got this, he says around 12 million people worldwide have been killed by their governments as a result of taking one of the vaccines. When you hear reports like this, it does make you wonder, what was the whole point of this? And it does make you wonder if there was some sort of a conspiracy to depopulate the earth. Because people are dropping dead, women are losing their babies, something's not right here. But people don't want to talk about that because, you know, it's they'll accuse you of being a nut job or a loon. They'll accuse you of being, an Alex Jones or a Steve Bannon. But it does make you wonder, what's the end game here? What's the point of all of this? All these young people, perfectly healthy, dropping dead. Women can't have babies anymore. It does make you wonder, does it not, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. 866-733-8868. We're going to take a break. We're going to go to the phones here. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hey, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. James in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our great affiliate. James, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Hello, James. You're on the air.
Todd Stearns, listen, you in the media, you need to get hold of Donald Trump people and tell them exactly what you say. It can't be about no Mar-a-Lago, can't be about 220, got to be about gas prices and all this foolishness that's going on in this country. So you sure put the head on the tail. But I got to say one thing, Pitiful Liz Cheney looked real sick last night, and I just want to say one more thing. I got relatives right now. They got a little money, they got a little whatever they got, but you know they still into this Democratic Party crap, and it's just pathetic. So I talk to them every now and then, but they are really ridiculous, my people. But some of them have changed their mind. But Donald Trump, congratulations, and make it about the issue. You have a great day, Charles Don, and I love your show.
James?
And one thing about it, I don't care how much gas he is neither, but I wouldn't vote for no Democrat. I ain't no Republican nor Democrat.
Good for you, James.
I ain't none of that boosting. But Donald Trump, I might be a Republican since I know he squashed the Clintons, he squashed the Bushes, and he squashed the Cheneys in 6 years. I go along with that because it's the bureaucracy in America. And I don't know why people in America ain't mad. I'm mad about the damn wheel tax. Excuse my friend. $50 we paying because they convinced black folks to vote for some air conditioners, whatever it was.
And free phones. Remember that one, James? Free phones, too. James, got to run, my friend. Good hearing from you, and thanks for listening to us on KWAM. And, you know, I will say, you know, James brings up some great points here. And this Donald Trump literally defeated three political dynasties, the Bushes, the Cheneys, and the Clintons. And when you see it, they all pal around together, they vacation together, they hang out together. It's part of the political ruling class. That's what it's all about. The political ruling class. Throw Barack Obama into that mix as well. So, but again, James, repeating what I said in the last hour, if Donald Trump makes this about himself, I'm not sure he can guarantee himself a win. But if Donald Trump makes us about the people, folks like James, people that are struggling to pay a bill, people that are struggling to fill up their gas tank, people that are struggling to go buy groceries, which is an overwhelming number of the American people right now, if he can do that, if he can channel that anger and that frustration, he's going to win in a landslide. That's what's going to happen. But if he makes it about 2020, if he makes it about Mar-a-Lago, I don't think that is going to energize the base in 2024. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. Art wrote me a note from WHKP, our great affiliate in Hendersonville. Art says, Todd, your remark about Cheney's $44 million was not a war chest but personal gain was right on target. Why else would all the hair blow dry politicians run year after year after year? They're simply out for themselves. Doesn't take a mental giant to figure out all of this stuff, my friend. All right, well, appreciate the comment, Art. By the way, there is a story out of Texas, and I am stunned that this kind of thing is happening in Texas. The headline, a Texas school has pulled the Bible out of school libraries. This is from Vice. Matthew Galt is the writer. A Texas school district pulled all versions of the Bible. I guess that's the King James Version, the New King James Version, the Holman Standard Version. That's the Baptist Bible. Pulled them all out. They also removed a graphic novel version of Anne Frank's diary from its library shelves. The ban happened in Keller, Texas. That's a suburb of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I'm sorry, but what kind of an idiot removes the Bible from a public school classroom and, of all places, the Lone Star State? You may as well just go ahead and announce that you're going to turn your school into a vegetarian palace and ban brisket. Anyway, according to Vice, Jennifer Price, who is the executive director of curriculum and instruction, sent an email to the school district principals. Attached is a list of all books that were challenged last year. By the end of today, I need all books pulled from the library and classrooms. And so on and so forth. Among the books, the Bible, all versions. They just flat out said, got to get rid of God's holy word. The school district released a statement on its website defending the Bible ban. Unbelievable. So now apparently this is all over these new rules and regulations. No, what this is blowback from the alphabet people. They're all upset because a lot of these public schools had pornography disguised as literature in the libraries for these little kids. And moms and dads rose up and said, no, we're not going to tolerate having alphabet people porn or heterosexual people porn. We're not going to do that. We're not going to play that game. That's not happening in our taxpayer-funded public school library. And so then to turn it around, and I told you this was going to happen. Doggone it, I got to throw another dollar in the jar. Grace, I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn here.
Hey, more Chick-fil-A for me, so I'm all about it.
But I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Make it a supersized meal, Grace. I told you they were going to come after the Bible. But again, folks, what is the point of the terrible stories in the Bible? The point is, people, there was a consequence. There was redemption. And in the case where cases of the Bible and with the Bible stories where there were not stories of redemption, there were consequences. Bad behavior had consequences. There's a difference between that and a book about some 3-year-old who identifies as a transsexual cat. Book bannings, and they're calling it book ban. This is not banning books. This is about age-appropriate material. Can we all? I know everybody likes to play around with the facts, but the truth is, this is not about banning books. This is about age-appropriate material. And again, I am stunned. We're not talking about Berkeley. We're not talking about Brooklyn. We're talking about Texas. Got to pay attention. You got to wake up. You got to understand what's going on here, folks. Quite frankly, the problem with American public schools right now is that they are not teaching the Bible in the classroom. It's an anything-goes society right now. They're going to learn the hard way. What can I say? All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Should they remove the Bible from these schools? 844-747-8868. Our website again, toddstearns.com. Great stories, and you'll be able to read that one as well. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, welcome back, America. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns radio program. This report coming in from Newsmax, the president's attorney, Christina Bob, is now confirming that FBI agents, when they raided Mar-a-Lago, they not only did they search Melania Trump's closet, her personal closet, but they refused to allow the president's attorney to actually observe what was happening. They said that she had no legal standing to be there to observe the raid of her client's home. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have a great American patriot and hero with us. His brand new book, The Giant Awakes, coming out today. You're going to want to read that one, folks. We've got a link to it on the website. It's our good buddy, retired Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. Ollie, good to have you back with us.
Todd Starnes, it's great to be with you again, my friend. You know, we've launched the last four books have all been launched with you. So obviously you have been good to me, and I'd like to be good to you. I just want to hold my stomach every time I hear something about this god-awful raid that was pulled on the president, former president.
You know, and I mean, it reminded me of how they treated you and your family back during the day. I mean, you're no stranger to this deep state coming after someone, coming after their family. What was your reaction when you saw what they were doing to President Trump?
Well, you know, we ended up actually being treated a lot better because we had a Republican president, Ronald Reagan, and we had a good attorney general, not a crook, not a criminal, not an awful person like we've got today. Ed Meese was the attorney general. And so, even though it was a special prosecutor and the Congress of the United States that was putting us through hell itself, it was because we had good friends that we were allowed standing. We were given an opportunity to defend ourselves. I mean, look what's happened in this Congress, particularly. The troika that is leading our country right now, the Speaker of the House, the Majority Leader of the Senate, and the President of the United States are acting as a troika in a regime that is basically obviating the constitutional protections we're all supposed to enjoy. No one's supposed to be above the law, and no one's supposed to be below the law. And what you've got happening right now is this country is being led to perdition by the leadership of this country. And that's why these books come out when they do, because I want the American people to make, we've got one last chance to turn things around. It's going to be the election this November and the election in November of 2024. We have a chance to save this country from the crazies that are running it right now. I'm sitting here, Todd, you'd appreciate this. Next time I'll see if I can bring one of these mugs with you. Back in my day, the FBI was a great organization, okay? The FBI alerted my family to the fact that terrorists were on their way to kill them. I was on a trip with a commandant of the Marine Corps, and they sent FBI people to our house to protect Betsy and the kids, get them out of the way because six terrorists launched by Islamic Jihad from Libya were on the way to our house to kill Betsy, my kids, and they'd already killed the dog. Unbeknownst to us, they'd actually been in the house before. They went and got the house plans. You can't do this anymore. Just walked in and said, print me the design for the house that was approved for 703 Kentland Drive in Great Falls, Virginia. And they printed it off for them. And the evidence, some of the evidence that was gathered against them was they had that map with them, not the map, the blueprint with them, copy of the blueprint. And on our bedroom, they'd written husband, wife in Arabic. And on the door that connected the garage to the lower level of the house, because it was a split level, they had sometimes, plural, sometimes left open. So they'd actually been in the house before. The dog had been poisoned. We thought it was something that the dog had eaten. Turned out it was actually strychnine. And so my friends in the FBI give me things like this. This is the coffee mug I'm drinking out of right now. It says, good morning. I see the assassins have failed again. That's the cup I'm
wow.
using to drink coffee out of.
Wow.
So I write books about things like the FBI agent is in charge of this book. Is a good guy. He's an undercover FBI agent. He's a former Marine, okay? And so it just happens that two Marines know how to read and write. And we sat down and wrote this book when we're already working on the next one.
It's you and Joel Rosenberg. You have your novels come out, and they really are for such a time as this events. I mean, almost prophetic in nature, and this is one of them.
Let me just read to you. There's an audio book out there, but let me just read to you from page 214. Understand this, Jake. This is Lieutenant General Peter Newman talking to Jake Cruz, the protagonist in the book. China is our biggest challenge in the world stage. The Chinese Communist Party is out to destroy our nation by any means. Though chickens and terrorists like to cackle when they drop an egg, the Chinese know not to advertise their successes. In fact, for them, it's lie, deny, and make counter-allegations. Have you read this book, America's Number One Adversary? Jake shook his head no. It was published in 2020, written by three senior staff members of Ronald Reagan's National Security Council. Admiral John Poindexter and Bud McFarlane were President Reagan's national security advisor, and Richard Levine was Reagan's NSC security policy director. Reaching into his old, well-worn map case, Major General Newman pulled out a copy of the book, handed it to Jake, and said, "If you want the straight scoop of what the Chi-Coms are up to, read this book. In just a few hours, you'll read about all that PRC is doing to take us down. What happened in Ukraine didn't change any of what's in this book. Putin's goal is to dominate Europe. Xi Jinping's goal is to dominate the whole world, including us. Xi is much more dangerous than Putin ever could be." That's just from one page of the book. It's current events. It's the real thing. And as you know, and I've said this before with you, if you change enough of the dates, times, names, and places, you can convert what's currently happening into a novel without getting locked up. And, of course, we never give away real secrets.
No, it's fascinating. Folks, you got to get a copy of the book. It's out today in bookstores, The Giant Awakes. You know, Ollie, there have been a lot of calls for the complete dismantling of the FBI. What needs to happen, and how do you believe that they are they beyond redemption, or is there a way to salvage the FBI?
Well, the things that they're doing now are beyond redemption. And so what's got to have to happen is that a whole new set of rules has to be done, not just for the FBI, but for our intelligence services. Look what the Obama administration did with basically covering up crimes that were being committed by then the vice president's son. What they've done now is they've intruded well beyond what the Constitution, and no president of the United States has ever been subjected to what this president, Donald Trump, was subjected to and still is. They're going out now and they're collecting up phones from members of Congress and state legislatures. All this looking for a crime for which they can then have somebody prosecute. The way that this is all being done, that's what needs to change. That means leadership in both the Department of Justice and the CIA and the DCI and all of the other NSA, all of those organizations that participated in the attack, the original attack, the FISA violations, all those things really are violations of law, and people ought to go to jail for committing acts. Reorganizing the FBI, you could end up very much like what happened with the Bush administration after 9/11. You could end up with things like the Patriot Act, which has all kinds of terrible consequences. And so what I'm suggesting is real leadership change. It begins this November. It follows up with a change in the Senate, the House, hopefully this time around, and a new president who understands the word integrity for the American people.
Now, I'm with you on that, and we've been reminding people over and over and over again, the president's never been arrested, never been charged with a crime. I mean,
right.
And look, just the other day, the president went out and said, hey, they even stole my passports. The feds come out and say, we never did such a thing. That's outrageous. CBS goes with it, and then they turn right around, and then the FBI admits that they did, in fact, steal his passport.
Yeah, we didn't mean to, though. No, what's laughable is the fact that these guys are so ham-handed. I mean, this could make a great comedy, you know, a Sacha kind of comedy of all the boneheaded things that they've done, but with vicious intent. The goal of the Inquisition against me back in the summer of 1987, so that long ago, that summer the goal was to get enough information that they could charge with impeachment Ronald Reagan. That was the ultimate goal of the special prosecutor. And everybody knew it. It was never in the paper that way. Nobody wanted to speculate on it. But that's exactly what they were doing. They just picked the wrong two witnesses to allow them to testify. They required Admiral Poindexter and me to testify. And all we had to do was tell the truth. And so at the end of the day, all of a sudden, their case against Ronald Reagan goes away. The charge was violating the Boland Amendment, for which there were no legal consequences whatsoever. Simply said, in the Defense Authorization and Appropriations Bills, no funds made available by this act may be used for the purposes or which would have the effect of providing direct or indirect support for military or paramilitary operations against the government in Managua, the Sandinista communist government. That's all it said. And they could never hang a case on Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan declassified everything. It was stuff that was top secret code word. There were a couple of lines deleted and obliterated and deleted from the documents, but they were hung in this as the wallpaper at the Spy Museum when it opened a few years later.
You know, Ollie, when you go back and look and study political history here in this country, you realize that there really is a political ruling class. Ronald Reagan was an accidental president. I mean, that was supposed to be George H.W. Bush's run for the White House. And there was that huge struggle, the huge fight between Reagan and the Bushes. And yet these accidental presidents like Ronald Reagan, and I think an argument could be made for Donald Trump, those are the most history-making, culture-shaping presidencies of at least the modern American political era.
No, and we're blessed that Ronald Reagan had two terms.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of the things that Donald Trump started, for example, he tried to turn back on the research that was being done under prior administrations on hypervelocity weapons. These are very, very important weapons. It reduces the warning time. If a nuclear weapon is launched, a nuclear warhead is launched on one of those weapons, instead of 30 minutes warning time, you could have as few as 11 minutes warning time. And so you could decapitate the leadership of this country unless we build defenses against it and build our own, not because we simply want to have better weapons. The only purpose of weapons and the people that we have in our armed forces is to deter war. And if you can't deter it, to win it as quickly as possible at the lowest possible cost. That's the only purpose of having an armed forces. This administration is obliterating our armed forces. The reenlistment rate among senior non-commissioned officers is next to zero. The return rate of officers coming back and staying is almost zero. And they're 30,000 short on new enlistments. Why? Well, I can give you one word. Afghanistan. The right thing to do was to get out of that war. Unfortunately, it was done the wrong way by this administration, and it's catastrophic, and it's affected everything. It gave Z motivation that if it hadn't been for what's going on in Ukraine right now, and we mentioned that in this book, if it hadn't been for Ukraine, Z would already be in the process of taking Taiwan.
Mm. Ollie, we've got about a minute or so. There are a lot of dumpster fires burning in this country right now. What's the one that keeps you up at night? What's the one that really concerns you?
Well, look, at the moral depravity of this country, the lack of sanctity of human life. I got 18 grandkids. My goal in life is to make sure that those kids know how to fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. That's not hard for a Marine to say. That's what I want on the back of my tombstone. I want this country to return to its roots. That's the book that came out just before this one, but that theme is carried forward in this book. I'm hoping that there's a moral, spiritual revival in this country to return us to the value systems of the only two documents that in the whole world that create a country, the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, Jefferson and Madison. Go back to those two documents because they're the only two in the world that pay homage to God Almighty in the crafting of them. That's what this country's got to do, is go back to those terms. The oath that I took so many times as an officer to support and defend not a panoply of, or not a political party, not a person. Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We need a president and a Congress that believes that and restores that. That's what keeps me up at night.
Ollie, we're going to leave it there. Hey, congratulations on the new book, and thanks for letting us launch this thing. It's so exciting. Folks, I've got all of his books in my library, and you need to have them in yours as well. Congratulations on The Giant Awakens. Thanks, Ollie.
God bless you, brother. By the way, discount by going to faithfultax.com.
I love it. I'm always looking to save some money, too. So there you go. All right, Ollie, good hearing from you. Take care now. All right, what a good man right there. And he's an excellent author. And seriously, we've got a link to the book on our website, toddstearns.com. The Giant Awakes, and it is out today. What keeps you up at night, ladies and gentlemen? What is it about our nation? What are the issues that are keeping you up at night? Ollie just shared his concerns. What about you? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Tom in Georgia. Tom, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. As they told Grace, we went through Memphis yesterday. I was listening to your 990.
on my way back to Georgia.
Is that right? Well, we appreciate you listening to KWAM, you guys have a great station there in Gainesville, WDUN.
That's my home station. The purpose of the call, on two news channels this morning, I hear an interesting data point. Liz Cheney, 2017, net worth $5 million, goes to Congress. Today, 7 years later, she's worth $43 million. She makes Hillary Clinton's cattle futures look like a poor man's lobster.
Well, it's a fair point. I've heard numbers. Open Secrets actually says that her net worth is around $14 million. I know Tucker's been using the $44 million. But regardless, Tom, the issue at hand, why in the world are all of these people going to Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden they're becoming multimillionaires? And it's not just Liz Cheney. I'm not just picking on Liz.
I know.
It's all of them.
And tell me there isn't a swamp. I mean, we're not that stupid.
No, we're not, Tom. And that's my concern is who's giving them this money and what are they getting in return for it? And we know that the Cheneys are very well connected to the military industrial complex. And I think one of the reasons, one of the things that's fueling Liz Cheney's anger is that Trump took us out of wars. And when you do that, there's no need to spend all this money on weaponry and military forces. So in effect, Donald Trump was hurting her bank account and her pocketbook, and that's one of the reasons that she's so fired up.
I agree. Well, I just had to share that with you.
All right.
Good luck.
Tom, appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. Chris Wallace says, Cheney declared war on Trump and the Republican Party. So, I think he's right. I think she has. Now, the question is, what sort of a Republican Party does Liz Cheney want? And this is what gets me, folks. I liked Liz Cheney. I really did. As a matter of fact, her voting record, she was one of the most pro-Trump people in Congress. Liz Cheney. So what I would love to be able to sit down and just have a conversation, do a deep dive into what was behind all of this. It makes no sense to me. All right. Hey, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. My fellow Americans, as the great General Elizabeth Tecumseh Cheney Sherman says, we're on a political crusade to burn down the Republican Party and set free those enslaved to the America First agenda. I say this, I declare emancipation from the Bush-Cheney political dynasty and say free at last, America. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I get a little bit theatrical there after Liz Cheney's invocation last night, where she compared herself to Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War General, U.S. Grant, and Martin Luther King Jr. And I have to imagine, as we watched her political history be gone with the wind, that we invoked the name of the great Rhett Butler by saying, frankly, my dear, we just don't give a damn. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Todd Stearns radio program. So honored to have you with us. And I want to go right to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines, dueling lines today. We have the great radio goddess herself, Mary Walters, joining us. Mary, hope you're doing well.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
And The mayor of Atlantic City, New Jersey, the guy's got a street named after him. He's one of the best talk show hosts in America. Our good friend from WPG, Harry Hurley. Hey, Harry.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Mary. And what an honor to be welcomed on the Todd Starn Show with Tara's theme.
Yeah, well, how about that? You know, I was watching Liz Cheney last night, and Mary, we're going to start with you, and Harry, just jump in. This woman is completely, she is consumed by this hatred of Donald Trump. I just don't get it.
No, she is, and she's a wonderful representation of TDS, you know, Trump Derangement Syndrome, and people laugh at it, but I do think it is real, and you see it if you just watch, you know, MSNBC, CNN, and some of these other channels, or you watch someone like Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger, and, you know, the left, I watched Morning Joe this morning just to punish myself, because, you know, I love waking up in the morning to begin with, so let's watch that, and it was amazing how they're making her just an icon, and she was the one who was defending democracy, and this just goes to show how far the Republican Party has fallen and how they're out to destroy this country. And I'm sitting here thinking that this is opposite world, and I wonder sometimes, I question myself, like, wow, I wonder if I'm the one who really is not seeing the writing on the wall here. She wasn't listening to her constituents, so they booted her. But I think the Democrats have plans for her. That's just my thought.
Harry Hurley.
Well, I would just echo everything and just second Mary's motion there and emotion. And here's what I thought of. Well, first of all, when the great analysis was done that Liz Cheney's speech would be studied for generations to come, I mean, you want to throw up in your mouth just a little bit. But here's what I thought of. And my twin brother actually came up with this, and I think it's pretty darn good. Donald Trump has retired. Think about this. For the first time this January, for the first time, there will not be a Kennedy, a Bush, a Cheney, a Clinton, Obama, or McCain in office. Trump is retiring more people than Social Security, to quote the Apollo Creed. How about that on top of everything else? Pretty amazing.
I mean, you think about it here, guys. We were literally the names you just rattled off. That is the political ruling class.
Yeah.
These are people who went to office. Many of them did not come from great means, and yet now they're multimillionaires many times over. And that, to me, is the bigger story here, is how these people earned and how they got their wealth. They didn't earn it. They were given this money. I want to know who's pulling their strings.
Well, I'd like to know how Liz Cheney went from whatever it was, several million dollars, to many, many millions of dollars in just six years in the People's House. How do they do this? I thought they should be so busy. She's busy trying to, you know, ruin Trump's life. How does she have time to make all these millions? Where does it all come from?
Well, you see, I think we know where it comes from, but this is why they're so against Trump, because he has the same questions, and they're afraid that the gravy train is going to end, which is a reason why I think you got to get, you know, Mitch McConnell out as well, because he's made a ton of money and doesn't want to see it end. But I would not count Liz Cheney or any of those people that you mentioned, the royalty of the party. I wouldn't count them out just yet. Obama's pulling the strings in this current White House. I think we all pretty much know that, him, Susan Rice. This is Obama's third term. But you watch, the Democrats are going to use Liz Cheney in order to maintain or even gain more power. I don't think it is beyond her to run as a disruptor, to run as on the Republican side, maybe even to try to split the vote in order to get a Democrat in.
She is running. But so what? She got 29% of the vote in her own state. What difference will she make at the national level?
Well, if they can get her to run as a Democrat, there's a ton of Democrats who will put a ton of money in, or run as a moderate Republican. You know, the GOP, the way it used to be, it's not a MAGA party, and she runs as the anti-MAGA candidate. Yeah. She may pull a lot of people in from the middle, the people who just can't stand Trump, the people who don't want to vote for a Democrat, but they don't want to vote for Trump. She may be able to get that vote, and the Democrats will fund it, even though she's running as a quote-unquote Republican.
Well, I hope there is a prime. I hope she runs as a Republican. Republicans so we can see some of those primary debates. Can you imagine her and Trump on the stage? I got the Baptist martini and my old Orville Redenbacher ready to go, guys.
Well, you know what he does. One by one, he takes them down. Low energy jab, and you can go right down the list. He would absolutely eviscerate her. The people that know her the best threw her to the curb yesterday.
But you know, does it matter? Joe Biden got elected president by campaigning from his basement. We rarely saw him, right?
Yeah.
Trump eviscerated him in some of the debates. And in some of the debates, I think Trump took the bait when he shouldn't have. But, I mean, Biden brought nothing to the table. And so I would not necessarily count her out in a debate against Trump because of the people who just can't stand Trump. They just don't like him. They're not going to vote for him.
I would push back only insofar as to say that was a once-and-forever type of election. Basement Joe worked because it was all vote by mail. It was a pandemic environment. Everything was different. The American people are going to want to see who their next president is. This teleprompter presidency that we have with the Prime Minister, Klain, and Susan Rice, nobody's buying it. Even Democrats don't like what's going on right now.
You know, it's interesting that, Mary, you bring up a good point, though. Go back to that 92 election where H.W. would have been reelected had it not been for Ross Perot being in that race. And I do wonder how many of those establishment Republicans could Cheney draw away? They're just looking for somebody to vote for. She pulls off enough independent voters. I mean, it could make for a very tight race.
I mean, only if it was like a Bush v. Gore and so few votes would decide. Liz Cheney is a loser now, and that's on scarlet letter on her forehead. Perot was very viable, and he was leading the whole race at one point until he got out. Then he remembered his crazy aunt in the basement, and he said he had to get back in. I think that's a different scenario. I don't think Liz Cheney – look, I'd rather her not run because – who was it? Ollie North, a good friend of mine, said two of the same can't beat one of the same, and when Marshall Coleman – got in the race, Chuck Robb wound up winning again. So I get the point, but I think that Liz Cheney would be very weak.
All right, Harry Hurley on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mary Walters on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. There are a couple of reports circulating in the political world about Republicans fundraising not going very well, Democrats outpacing them on those numbers. Also, moving around some money and advertising dollars in one race in particular, Pennsylvania, with Dr. Oz. And I want the kicking off part here, Mary. Dr. Oz facing some humiliation because of a grocery store visit where he was purchasing ingredients for his wife's crudité. because the average American shows up in the produce aisle with the film crew.
Yeah. Well, listen, this is like Michelle Obama. Remember when Michelle Obama went shopping at Target to prove that they were one of us and there just happened to be photographers there? You know, and that was also where she experienced racism because someone asked her to get something off the top shelf. It had nothing to do with the fact that she's really tall. It had everything to do with, you know, the fact that she's black, and so it was racist. But, you know, In Pennsylvania, the Republicans are just making some mistakes, and I'm just shocked at. Oz is not the best candidate. I think we all know that. I think Republicans are counting on name recognition for him, which does go a long way. You've got Fetterman, who should be an easily defeated candidate. He says a lot of things that should be easily defeated and can be used against him. But, you know, Democrats are far better than the messaging than Republicans are. And Republicans refuse to learn from the Democrats and use the tactics that they use. And, you know, a lot of people call it crudité, but they're using it to make him seem like an elitist, which it's working. It's working. Fetterman runs around. He must only own black hoodies. Have you ever noticed that? He just wears these black hoodies because he's a man of the people. He should be easy to beat. But I honestly think Oz is going to lose. I just do, because the Democrats are better at the game.
I have to agree completely, and I don't want to. Oz was a very good primary election candidate. He's been a terrible general election candidate. This Fetterman's running basically from the hospital emergency room, and like Mary said, in these really sketchy hoodie sweatshirts. And the limousine liberals pretend that it's the Republicans that are rich and that they're somehow poor. It's ridiculous, but I do agree. For right now, it is working, and somehow, some way, Fetterman is winning that race. And if this doesn't right itself, he's going to win, and that would be a Democrat pickup. That becomes a problem. That means that if Herschel Walker doesn't beat Raphael Warnock, Democrats are going to keep the Senate.
And that's a challenge, guys. And we've got, you know, we've got a lot of listeners in Georgia. Walker has the name recognition out the wazoo, but going toe-to-toe, we're going to see how well he does in that debate. That could get ugly pretty quick. And Raphael Warnock has a war chest that that exceeds, I think, four or five other Republicans running out there in other races combined. Mary.
Yeah, again, because the Democrats are phenomenal at raising money. They don't stop. I don't know. Can someone explain to me why President Trump endorsed Oz in Pennsylvania? Like, I don't understand that. Why did he do that? And I think that's one of the things that put Oz over the top. In addition to his name recognition, it never should have happened. I actually think Herschel Walker is a good candidate. He's far better than Raphael Warnock. And some of the things the Democrats are saying about Herschel Walker are just downright racist. But where are the Republicans picking that up and using it in the messaging? And I think a lot of this goes back to the national, which never wants to get involved, doesn't want to spend money until you win. We saw it in New Jersey with Jack Cittarelli, right? And I know that... Harry can speak to this. The national was nowhere to be seen. Where were they? They did nothing. They won't endorse you. They won't help you until you win. And then they'll come out with the cash. They like to hold on to it like my grandmother did before she was done. She had to hold on to the family silver. And we're like, where are you? You're not taking it with you. So I blame the national for a lot of this.
Totally agree. Again, I'm not trying to make this, Barney or something. A lot of purple people loving each other here, but Mary's correct about all of it, including Jack Cittarelli should be governor right now. The support, he did everything you could ever ask a candidate to do. On Oz, President Trump is a loyal friend. That's your answer. He doesn't get credit for this, but he's extremely loyal. That's why he endorsed Oz. There was a relationship there, a friendship there, television friendship, legitimate friendship, and he endorsed them. If he didn't, I think Mary hedged a little bit. There's no doubt. If President Trump did not endorse Oz, Oz loses. Trump controlled that race like he controlled many of them to date. And I agree with the comment on Herschel Walker. He's a much better candidate than he's being given credit for. And isn't it interesting that only a Republican African-American can be trashed? Can you imagine if Herschel Walker, his entire story was exactly the same, and he was a Democrat, and you called him dumb and some dumb jock and all these criticisms, you'd be a racist, you'd be canceled, but they can trash him with impunity.
Yep. All right, guys, they're yelling at me. We got to take a break here. We're gonna leave it there. Harry, Mary, always good having both of you on the show. We'll get you back on soon.
Way to go, Mary. You brought it today.
Thanks, Harry. And clearly you agree with me because you're brilliant.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Bye, guys.
All right. I feel smarter. Thank you.
Harry Hurley, Mary Walter on the radio combo platter here. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, I will say this. This is one of the few hilarious headlines I've seen in a long time. New York Times posting a brutal review of Jared Kushner's new memoir, calling it soulless. They said that Jared Kushner looks like a mannequin and he writes like one too. Oh, that's brutal. But you know he's a leftist. Jared Kushner, one of the big problems in the Bush administration, by the way. All right, got to take a break here. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, have you tried a glass of Life Change Tea? Love that iced tea. They're having a big summer sale. Buy three, get one free. Life Change Tea, amazing, natural, gentle cleanse. You're going to love it. 12 herbs, comes in three delicious flavors, natural peppermint and pomegranate, and they are an amazing company. GetTheTea.com, that's the website, GetTheTea.com. Now, write down our discount code, Todd10. They're going to give you an additional $10 off plus free shipping. So when you add all of that up, the buy three, get one free, the $10 off, free shipping, over $50 in savings right there. GetTheTea.com. Use my discount code Todd and the number 10. That's Todd10. And you're going to be having a wonderful, wonderful beverage in the next few days. Folks, wow, we've got a great guest coming up in just a few moments. We're going to be checking with Congressman Pat Fallon at our border. It's been completely overrun. Completely overrun. And nobody wants to talk about that in Washington, D.C. So we'll be talking to Congressman Pat Fallon in just a few moments. But right now, over at our website, I want to encourage you to get a copy of my book, The Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. You guys need to read this book. And Amazon, they've got a great special. It's like $5, which is a pretty good deal, really good deal. But you need to read this book. This is the outline of what the Democrats have done to our country, what they are doing to our country, and what the end game is. You need to understand the end of the game so you can prepare to fight back. And that's what I do in Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And if we do not, and you heard Oliver North say this, we've got two opportunities. Number one, the midterm elections. That's the stopgap. That's the firewall. Retake Congress. The presidential election, 2024, that's where you can finally drive a stake through the heart, the evil, ugly, dark heart of the socialist movement in this country. So we've got opportunities. And so I would encourage you, go right now, get a copy. It's $5. Buy a couple and get them to your friends. We've got to start raising up an army of freedom fighters in this country. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, people, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Hope you're having a pleasant day, and thank you for joining us Monday through Friday, noon to 3 Eastern. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from the Lone Star State, the 4th Congressional District, Congressman Pat Fallon. Congressman, hope you're doing good.
Todd Stearns, as I said it once, I'll say it again, you are a great American. It's great to be out with you.
Well, thank you, sir. Congressman, there are a lot of dumpster fires burning across the country, but the big one, and hardly anyone's talking about this, the tens of thousands of people that are still coming across that border down in Texas, unbelievable.
You know what, Todd? It's really remarkable. I mean, you're an honest journalist, and commentator, so you actually talk about the things that matter and tell the truth. So much of the mainstream media doesn't, sometimes by commission and many oftentimes by omission. And Joe Biden has been in office 600 days. He's never visited the border. In April, we had 234,000 illegal border crossings, which is 1,258% worse than the last April President Trump was in office, only to be eclipsed by May with nearly 240,000, which was 930% worse than the last May President Trump was in office. We've had 17 straight months of 150,000 illegal border crossers. 4 million people have crossed that border illegally under Joe Biden's watch. He's done absolutely bumpkiss about it, and it's a gross dereliction of duty.
And the sheer hypocrisy, though, this is what gets me. You've got the mayor of New York City. You've got the mayor of Washington, D.C., congressman.
You know what? Listen, cry me a river, as my friend Chip Roy said. You've got to be kidding me. We bus a few hundred folks up to New York City, and they say it's a humanitarian crisis. Really? How about several million? We know that because Joe Biden has made every state a border state. And I think, honestly, Todd, we should have an express train to take these illegal folks up to San Francisco, to Nancy Pelosi's neighborhood, up to Chuck Schumer's mansion in New York, and to Delaware, to the coast, where Joe Biden has his beach house. I think that would turn Delaware red within a few years, because this is a humanitarian crisis, and we need to control the southern border and take that control away from the evil, most evil people on the planet, which are the Mexican drug cartel.
Meanwhile, in New York City, there's a lot of hullabaloo over a plan to house the illegals in a luxury hotel. It's the old Milford Plaza. Now, Congressman, you might remember back in the day, Kathy Lee Gifford. She was the singer. The Lullaby of Broadway was a big TV commercial, and Kathy Gifford was the spokesperson for this fancy hotel, which is right there in Times Square, upwards of $400 a night that the taxpayers are going to be footing to house as many as 600 illegal alien families.
When you incentivize something, you get more of it. So what Joe Biden has done is he's made our border a de facto open border. They know that all they have to do is claim asylum, and they'll be caught and released into the United States. What President Trump did was wait in Mexico, which said, oh, we know that 99% of these people are economic migrants. They're not really political asylum seekers. So President Trump said, you will wait in Mexico while we adjudicate your case. Well, that's a massive difference. That's why the numbers drop. That's why people didn't make the perilous and dangerous journey in the first place. Joe Biden, he's got his head in the sand. He doesn't care. Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Director, should be impeached. He lied. I think he lied to Congress. He said the border is secure, and then he gets caught on a hot mic 6 weeks later saying that the border is chaos. So which is it?
Congressman Pat Fallon on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, folks. Congressman, we've also been paying close attention to what's happening down in Florida with the raid at Mar-a-Lago and the fallout from that. Tomorrow, we understand there is going to be a hearing to determine whether or not the search warrant can be unsealed. You know what gets me, though, Congressman, is that the FBI has a pattern here of lying to the American people. And they just got caught a few days ago lying about whether or not they took the president's passport, which they said they did not. Turns out they did. Do you trust the Federal Bureau of Investigation?
No, absolutely not. And that lost trust is something that they earned. You know, we grew up, most of us grew up like admiring the FBI and thinking that they were unimpeachable. And then to see what they have turned into, just a political arm of the Democratic Party, is not only disgusting, but it's incredibly dangerous. If you're going to do something this unprecedented, you better find Jimmy Hoffa's body at Mar-a-Lago, okay? Because this is, and then they get the judge, that Reinhardt fella. He was an Obama. He donated to Obama. So if you're going to do it, you would probably get a federal judge who you could then look at and say, see, this is a Republican-appointed judge. This is about law and order and justice. It's not about partisan politics. But then the DOJ refusing to unseal the affidavit, and then they're trying to cover their tracks. This smacks of a political hit job, the likes of which we've never seen.
It does, and I think we all know where this is heading. They're trying to indict this president. They're looking for something, anything, whether he's jaywalking, runs a red light, maybe turned the wrong way. I don't know. They're going to try as best as they can to indict this guy.
Well, you know what, Todd? We really look at it as a fourth impeachment because they impeached this president twice, the second time, absurdly, with 2 weeks left in office. And then the January 6th commission for going on for a year and a half, that's like the third impeachment, and then this raid is like the fourth. They are so desperately afraid of this fellow because he literally does put America first, and he puts the American taxpayer first, and that's why I told him this on Tuesday. I had dinner with him, and I said, Mr. President, how does a Manhattan billionaire connect so closely and powerfully with the working class, men and women? Because you care and you're authentic, and you do what you say you're going to do.
Congressman, I'm curious. Tell us a little bit about the dinner. How's the president doing? Is he encouraged by what's happening out there with the primaries?
Yeah, no. He was like in Texas. He was 33-0. I was one of the people he endorsed. Everybody he endorsed in the state of Texas won. And he's had a fabulous record. He told me exactly what it was, but it was a massive number, and he had just maybe a couple of losses. And then, of course, with CNN and MSNBC and the rest of the line media, we'll focus on the two losses and not like the 300 races or the 150 races, however much it was that won. But he asked if anybody could go out to Wyoming and help Harriet Hageman, and I raised my hand. So I just got back from Wyoming. I'm back in Texas now, and Harriet's going to do a great job. I really wanted her to win. But you know what there, Todd, what we saw was Liz Cheney running against President Trump, and Harriet Hageman, who actually lives and grew up in Wyoming, was running four things. She was running four: limited government, low taxes, reasonable regulation, fiscal responsibility, energy independence, the Second Amendment, et cetera. Where in the Wyoming voters, 66% were for Harriet and only 29% for the incumbent. That speaks volume.
Yeah, no, it really does. And I'm curious, you're out there talking to people in Wyoming. What were the big issues on their mind? Was it Trump and Mar-a-Lago, or was it the economy?
It was several different things. I mean, it's one thing if a member of Congress has a beef with the former president. Okay, whatever. But and that wasn't just that. It was so many other things. Liz Cheney grew up in McLean, Virginia. She lives in McLean, Virginia right now. They didn't feel like she was connecting with them. She wasn't representing Wyoming priorities where Harriet was. And Harriet ran a strong grassroots campaign, put like 40,000 miles on her car. And that's why she won by such a wide margin. She was a great candidate, and they were also stickler's chief.
All right. Good stuff, Congressman. We're going to leave it there. Always appreciate your great work and your great American patriot.
No, thank you, Todd. And it's my chief of staff, Shannon Sorrell's birthday today. She's also a great American, and I appreciate you, and God bless you.
All right, and happy birthday. All right, Congressman Pat Fallon. There we go, from the 4th Congressional District. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, it's interesting. I got a call from, SRN News, which is the Salem Radio News Town Hall News, and they want to interview me about the violence in Memphis, Tennessee. And it's insane, the amount of violence and the shootings and the carjackings. And many of the people that are committing the crimes are like young kids, 14 years old. So yesterday there was, or night before last, there was a big shooting here. What, six people got gunned down in front of the hospital, one of the hospitals. And it turns out they were actually in a stolen vehicle. So the victims were also, in fact, criminals. They still haven't figured out who shot the guys. But it turns out that apparently these people were also responsible for that carjacking I saw about a week or so ago in one of the suburban cities of Memphis. It's insane out there. We are controlled by Democrats, progressive Democrats. We just elected a radical George Soros district attorney. And we can only imagine what's going to happen when that guy gets in office, because his first order of business, now get this, the new district attorney is right out of the Los Angeles and San Francisco progressive protect the criminals element. So this guy wants to raise the age of juvenile crimes to 25 years old. In other words, if you're 25 years old and you go out there and you shoot somebody, you're going to go to juvenile court. And the district attorney, the guy's name is Professor Steve Mulroy. And this guy actually thinks that your mind is not developed enough at the age of 24 to be tried as an adult. So therefore, you should be tried as a child, even though you're 24 freaking years old. Now, hear me with, and I said this on the morning show at KWAM. We were talking about this, and I'm gonna say this when the folks over at Salem Radio News interview me after this program. Would you rather be robbed by a 14-year-old or a 24-year-old? Personally, I'd rather be robbed by the 24-year-old, because I think their minds are developed enough to where they're going to realize, hey, I just want money and get out of here. I think the 14-year-old would shoot you dead. You got to listen. We're raising a generation of evil children in this country, a generation of evil kids. It's like the little spawns of Satan are being born all over Memphis. It's unbelievable. Parents are not doing their jobs. They're letting the kids just, it's just unbelievable what's happening out there. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. So sooner or later, people are going to wake up. I don't know how long it's going to take for that to happen. But if you're coming driving through Memphis, Tennessee, make sure you've got bulletproof windows and you're wearing Kevlar. Now let's go to the phones, North Carolina. Patty, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Patty, what's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. I love the Gone with the Wind. Oh, my God. Anyway, I have to ask you a question. I believe he's going to get indicted, Donald Trump. I believe it.
All right. Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to get indicted. And I want to know, I just have to ask you a question because you're very smart. What do you think, could you imagine him coming out in handcuffs? How do you think 80 million people would, react to that?
Patty, if they haul him out, they do the perp walk and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I think we're going to see 80 million MAGA people marching in the streets.
There's going to be a civil war in this country. There's going to be a civil war, don't you think, Todd?
I do.
Yep. And I think that's what they want.
I do not disagree with that, Patty. I think that's exactly what they're hoping for. They're hoping that the MAGA world will go full bore nuclear. That's what they're wanting.
Yes. And that's why I called, and I want to know what you thought about that. It makes me, I'm a nervous wreck because I believe this, they're not going to stand for this. They're not going to stand for, him walking out. I cannot believe if Merrick Garland has him in handcuffs, right?
Yep. I'm following this. Look, and here's the challenge. You say, well, what will they do? You see, we still don't understand what happened on January the 6th, Patty. We know that FBI agents were there, but they're refusing to tell us how many. They refuse to tell us how many FBI agents were involved in the planning of January 6th or the execution of January 6th. And I am one of those people that believes that whatever happened on that day was meant to destroy and hurt President Trump. That's right. What I think happened on January the 6th. And I say that because the FBI tried to do that during his campaign, the first go-around. Once he got elected, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, we've got an insurance policy. He's never going to be able to be president. Okay, what do they mean by that? We never got a clear explanation of all of that. So, yeah, I believe there's some crazy stuff going down, and I am very concerned about what would happen if they perp-walked this president.
And there's another thing I like to ask you before I hang up. I like to know, I keep on getting, the question keeps on in my head, is whatever happened to Ray Epps? What happened to that man?
That's a great question. And the FBI doesn't want to answer that question, Patty, and that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it's all going to come out in the wash, though. I think he's going to come through again. I believe he's going to run again.
I hope he does, and I think he's going to win.
Stay away from 2020.
Yeah.
Don't go forward. Don't go backwards.
That's it. Got to go. That's right. That's right. Patty, great call. And folks, she's right to be concerned. I mean, what do you think would happen if President Trump got indicted and they perp walked the president? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. ToddStearns.com, great stories up, and now's a great opportunity for you to head over and sign up for the newsletter. We've got a newsletter coming out in just about an hour or so. And, Grace, I'm going to get some, the liquid Tylenol or...
Well, what, it's a nice...
No-dose or whatever.
It's a nice rainy day in Memphis, Tennessee, so
my
you can go
goodness.
Take a nap.
I guess I need a nap. I don't know, but... what do you call this? The NyQuil.
Oh, the NyQuil. Well, don't take NyQuil in the afternoon. Wait to take it till dinner time.
I had to chug a couple of them. All right, let's let's go to the phones here. Paul, North Carolina, on the line. Hey, Paul, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I was just thinking with the story you told a minute ago about the gentleman that wants to change the juvenile delinquent age all the way up to 25. If we're going to do that, then they should change the voting age to 25 as well.
Completely agree with that, Paul. I think that's a brilliant strategy. Say, okay, fine. You're going to raise the age to 25. And by the way, not just voting, Paul, but what about cars? I mean, we got a lot of car accidents out there. Let's just raise the driver's license age.
The driver's license age, the smoking age, the drinking age. I mean, I thought my dad was a complete idiot all the way until I was about 25. Then I realized that he was right about pretty much everything he ever told me. So there may be some truth to this guy, but, you know, then again, facts don't matter, feelings matter. So,
Paul, I love it, and you're on to something here. We got to run. Appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. Love all of our friends out at Morehead City and The Talk Station. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for the day. Again, ToddStearns.com. Sign up for the newsletter, the podcast, free of charge. And again, get yourself a copy of Culture Jihad. Now, I'll sign a copy for you over at the website, but you can get one for about $5 over at Amazon and buy a couple. We got to get the nation reading this book, folks. If we're going to take back America, that's the starting point. All right, get out there. Have a great day, everybody. All right, folks, I know that President Biden says we're at 0% inflation growth, but we all know what's really going on here. And a lot of folks very concerned about their investments and what they need to be doing. And that's why we always turn to our good friend Charles Thorngren over at Legacy Precious Metals. Charles, I have to imagine you must have let out a big laugh when you heard what the president had to say the other day.
You know, actually, it was a couple tears, actually, that we have a system where they don't believe they have to come close to the truth anymore. They believe they have this so trained that they'll just tell us anything and we believe it. It's a sad state.
No, it is. And people are really struggling and people are beginning to suffer. I mean, there are folks who can't afford to buy groceries in some cases. Folks getting ready for retirement, and they're seeing their investments really struggle right now. The reality, though, is that people who have invested in gold and silver are actually a heck of a lot safer than everybody else here.
That is so true. You know, we've seen this big pullback in the market, and gold has done its job. Silver has done its job. It's been that hedge. And unfortunately, this is the beginning. That's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. This correction is unlike other corrections. This isn't just a flash correction. This is a correction that happens when you have a system that says, we're not going to value money. We're not going to value being a country of integrity, of taxing what we need to and not overtaxing and not overspending. So this is a correction that will have legs, as we call it in the industry. This is something that's going to go on for a while.
And that's important for people to understand because, Charles, you've been doing this for well over two decades. What are you forecasting? What do you see coming that people need to be aware of?
The biggest concerns we have right now, again, we talked about food. You know, this is the biggest increase in the cost of food since 1979. So we have to, those of us who understand what that means and what happened late 70s, early 80s, know that there was a big correction then too, that it really changed things. Banks closed, financial institutions ended, they had to be merged. We see the same thing happening again. We have now, which is recent legislation they passed, which is more money spent, more deficit on top of deficit last year, and now taxes. The big promise that they made was no taxes on the middle class. It's impossible for this tax plan to not tax everyone. It's just, this is what's going to happen. So we see is a scenario where we could lose, if you're in equities markets just themselves, you could lose 5 to 6 years of potential growth. And once we get to the pullback point, you'll see what we call a crab movement in the industry. It just moves sideways and there's no growth. The thing you can't do with your retirement is not have growth. You need time of growth, and we lose that way. That's the devastating part of it.
So, Charles, let's take people through this process because, you know, when I started investing in gold and silver, I was a little nervous. I didn't know what to expect, and people, maybe they, you know, I think the first question a lot of people have is, okay, why should I do this? Why should I consider investing in gold and silver?
Great question. And I think the easy answer is it is a hedge against inflation and the dollar. It doesn't make us non-American, but we have to understand, and we know it, stories from our grandfather, you know, 5 cents a gallon for gasoline. Over time, things cost more. That is what inflation does. Our government is run on a system of borrowing money now and paying it back later. So in the interest of the government spending, it makes sense for them to inflate a little bit every year. Because what that does is in 20 years when that bond comes due, $1 million isn't as impressive as it was $1 million 20 years ago. So that's the theory behind it, okay? So what we say with gold is we're going to go back to the old standard and say, I'm going to put my money away in something safe and let it grow over time. But it's not going to be something that's truly manipulated. So this is what gold and silver does. We know the dollar is going to get weaker. We know when that happens, gold goes up. So that's what we do. We put the gold and silver away and we say 10, 15 years from now, I know I'm going to have that growth without the risk of a market that can be manipulated, that goes up and down and swings wildly like the equities market. That's the basic idea of investing in metals.
And one of the great things that you guys do at Legacy Precious Metals, you offer a free gold guide, and it's really helpful to people that are just getting started. Maybe, you know, even young people that are, you know, wanting, you know, they're being super wise and starting their investments very early in life. This gold guide you guys have is so incredibly helpful. And of course, there's all sorts of information on the website, legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. Charles, always good to get intel and in real time so that people can know that what they're doing now can really help them down the road in a very positive way.
Absolutely. Never good to stick your head in the sand. You gotta
no, you're right about that. All right, Charles, thank you.
My pleasure.